The OTL podcast is brought to you in association with STEM Recruitment Solutions. If you need help in recruiting for science, technology, engineering and maths, visit stemrecsolutions.co.uk to find out more. Dum, 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 dum.
We've done it! Brilliant, Joshua. Absolutely brilliant. We'll leave you with the highlights. It's over. The times are done.
Okay, welcome to the OTL podcast. It's been a while and it's been a busy time for the club, but joining me to discuss it tonight, well, somebody just dropped off the Zoom call, hence my amusement, but Andrew Snedden has been here and not dropped off yet. Andrew, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Good to be back.
Good stuff. And Colin Campbell, how are you, Colin?
Yeah, I'm very good. Glad to be in the new company. I can't remember if I've bumped into Andrew or Andrew. So this is good for me. It's not Sean Smith, so that's a bonus.
Yeah, if you're listening, Sean will be listening. Yeah, I don't know if any slights meant by that or not. Who knows?
I'm
back in, hopefully from the waiting room, and with a stable connection. David Roxburgh, how are you, David?
I'm very welcome. Yes. As I got older, I don't seem to get any better with technology. So yeah, I am on though. I am connected, and I'm not going to touch any more buttons on the phone. So that I remain on this call for its entirety. Thank you for having me back.
Good stuff. Right. So, like I say, the last podcast that I put out was a cup special pre the Hearts game. So, like, just choose as good a place as any to start. What's your reflections on the Hearts game? The dream of a centenary cup win disappeared. It kind of kept alive longer than it might have been with the win against St Johnston. But, like, big day at the stadium. Colin, go with you first. What did you make of that as an occasion?
Well, unfortunately, I watched it on the television down in the wonderful Isle of Arran because they moved it to the Sunday, which really, really annoyed me. And having seen the first 20 minutes, I was glad. I was glad I wasn't there. It was obviously a big occasion, but I was annoyed that yet again I had to miss a quite an important cup tie because of these. It's a bonus being on the TV, I suppose, but I'd have preferred the Friday night, as it happened. I couldn't get out of escaping to the Isle of Arran. So, yeah, disappointed, obviously. Nice goal for Frizzle. So that was a bonus. It's the only one I think he scored, certainly with a header. So, yeah, it was good for the club, obviously. Stadium looked really good.
Yeah.
So, over to those who were actually there.
And Andrew is sitting in the capital, as am I. So we always hope that we might sneak that and have a bit more bragging rights around here. But how did you find the game?
I was good, and the atmosphere was good in the stadium. And as is always the case, obviously, when you're coming up against a bigger team in the cup, it's hope rather than expectation, isn't it? But as you say, I'm in the capital as well, so I was bumping into plenty of jambos. And what I was saying in the lead up to the game was, you know, to all of them, because they were like, you know, a wee bit of wind up and back and forth with every Hearts fan that I came across. But one thing that I kind of confidently said to all of them was, do you know what, we're not going to play with 10 men behind the ball. We're going to go out and play football. And obviously you're disappointed to lose. You're disappointed to lose any game, regardless of who you're playing. But I would much rather go out to Hearts 4-1, going out and playing football, than 1-0 and we play the whole 90 minutes playing hoofball, 10 men behind the ball. There's no point in doing what we've been trying to do and build what we've been trying to build over the last couple of years when you just chuck it in the bin because you're coming up against a good team. Hearts are, you know, well, certainly at the time, I think the most informed team in the country, and I think they showed, you know, that they're kind of rightly up there, and certainly showed their quality. It wasn't that we were self-inflicting. If we played like that against most other teams in the Championship or even lower part of the SPL, it certainly wouldn't be getting four goals past us. I thought we made a good account of ourselves despite the scoreline. But it was a good game to be at, and I was pleased that we carried on trying to play the way that we that we wanted to play, even against a team like that. But I think their quality is so much beyond what is in any of the teams in the Championship. They just punished absolutely everything, moved the ball really slick. So no, I was impressed with them, but obviously disappointed at the result.
Yeah, I thought they played football in a similar way to us, but just with a bit more quality as well. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. David, Colin said there about the first 22 minutes or whatever it was, being a bit of relief. But like within those first 22 minutes, I think we had about six corners, which maybe not something we'd have expected. What did you make of the game?
It was disappointing in the end, right? We came up against a team flying high at that point in time, who, let's be honest, enjoyed playing in our pitch a damn sight more than they enjoyed playing in Morton's the other night, right? And the quality came through. And, you know, what was great was we didn't sit back. We went, we had a go, we had opportunities. But for an immense Craig Gordon save, I think we could have been 1-0 up. But then the quality shone through. I don't think, could we have been tighter for the goals? Yeah, possibly. But were they all excellent finishes? Absolutely. You know, and I think from that perspective, we were undone by a better team. And there's nothing wrong with admitting that. But there was a lot of positives that we could take from that game, and fortunately have taken from that game and got some good results ourselves since. So all in all, disappointing for it to be over almost so quickly, because you want to be in that game by half time and maybe see their fans turning, but it was not to be.
Yeah. And you say good results since then, but I mean, the next thing I wanted to come on to was just league form since we last podcasted. So we followed up the Hearts defeat with horrible performance at home to Ayr, which we lost 3-2. A loss away at Morton, but then 2-0 against Dundee United, draw with Queen's Park, 2-0 with Dunfermline, and a draw on Saturday. So, yeah, what do you call them first? What do you reckon about league form? So it's still a bit all over the place. I think Emma described it as a roller coaster. But overall, are you happy enough with that?
Well, I quite liked roller coasters in my earlier days. I'm not so sure now. Again, I missed a couple of games. I was so annoyed at Capello that I decided not to go to Tannadice, but my friends somehow got themselves there. I could have gone at the last minute, but I thought, nah, I'm not going. The Ayr game was really disappointing. Terrible mistakes, and yet not playing that badly. Ayr just seemed to have something over us. This league is like that. Some teams we can beat, and other teams for some reason we can't. So it certainly was good to recover with a win at Tannadice. I mean, as I was looking at my phone trying to figure out the scores and trying to avoid things, how delighted I was at not being at a game. So maybe I should stay away from the places like Tannadice. But no, it was good to see that. I really enjoyed the Dunfermline one. You'll maybe come on to that later on. That was having gone there with a wee bit of expectation that we should give them a good doing after all the carry-on with the postponements. But, yeah, I think we're sitting in 36 points, and now I never thought we would be there. I thought we'd be around about 28, 29. So you've got to say we're in a really good position. The football's still been good. A bit more pragmatic, which is sensible, I think, because we made mistakes against the Ayr that were just because of let's play it out from the back and we get caught again. Risk and reward, yeah, but sometimes you just got to move the ball a lot quicker away from the penalty box. So quite happy.
This made me laugh, the high risk, high reward, but yeah, with high risk also comes a high opportunity, a high chance that something will go wrong, which it definitely did with Janny getting close down for one of the goals in that game. David, what about you? Like league form, and I guess how tight this league is. Can you quite believe that we're sitting fifth? But would you have any confidence in saying that we'll finish, or more confidence in saying that we'll finish third than we would ninth? What do you make of all?
I do actually. Right, I'm the optimist. I would much rather look up the way and down the way, and I think that's Reece's philosophy as well. You know, it removes the nerves from the team. If you've got a team playing confidently, and you tell them, guys, we can
Yeah.
catch the team above, rather than let's stay clear of the teams below us. That mentality is the right type to drill into the squad. Now, yeah, did we have some disappointing results? Of course. I think we went four goals in a row in league games after Hearts, right? Where they were all defensive errors, which is crazy because we lost four goals against Hearts and you wouldn't have said that any of them were really terrible defensively, right? But then the three against Ayr were awful, self-inflicted, and we've done it far too much this season. But what I love about this team is how we bounce back. To go three clean sheets, three away games in a row, right? Not easy away games either, is remarkable. And that's what I love about this team, right? It is the roller coaster said far too often, but it is one of these journeys that you need to pinch yourself and remember. This is our first season in this league for a long time. And we are punching above our weight in terms of budget compared to others. And we're reeling in. Like Morton, who put a great run together, they're coming back again. Unfortunately, Oakley got injured. I'm not quite sure how that happened. but also, you've got Partick Thistle now slipping up. And I read something a Partick Thistle fan talked about. They can't believe they're still third after the run they've been on. And it just shows how crazy this league is. You put a run together and you put a bit of distance, and then suddenly you can be pulled back in there in a matter of games. I'm all for saying that we can finish in the playoffs. I think now we're getting to that business end of the season. There's absolutely no reason why we cannot be in there mixing up, and that's what we should be aiming to do.
Do you agree, Andrew?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously tight, and you're looking back, just to go back to the league games, I was at the game against Ayr, where we gifted them really all of their goals, which was incredibly disappointing. But just to touch on what you were saying before about, you know, this risk and reward, and high risk, high reward, it's like, well, what kind of a risk are you going to take? Because obviously that one that sticks out from the Queen's Park game as well, with the way that Frizzle's turning back towards goal, it's a risk to try and keep possession and maybe draw the opposition out a little bit. That's the type of risk you're going to take. But if you look at you know, the Dundee United game, the two goals come from the risk of, do you know what, we're going to risk losing possession to go and play the ball forward to then create a chance. It's played forward and then a cross comes in for Gabby's header. It's then a breakaway for the second goal, played forward. Todorov has a chance to knock it back, has the risk of playing it over the top. Okay, you can say it's maybe not risky in the 94th minute, just knocking that ball on, but nonetheless, it's a risk of losing the ball. Same again with our two goals against Dunfermline. Rhys McCabe could have played the ball a bit safer, but risked losing possession by playing it forward. We've immediately won the second ball, played forward for Gabby's goal. So that's, I think, as long as we kind of take that in, it can still be the same principles of, like, okay, high risk, high reward, but taking more of the risks going forward and being a bit braver in possession, not necessarily just to try and coax out the opposition and find these wee spaces, which can work brilliantly, but I think we're seeing that effectiveness when we're just that bit more, that there's that bit more bite going forward and going, do you know what, we're going to risk losing the ball because I'm going to try and play a bit of a killer pass, or I'm just going to try and squeeze it in there, and then we're getting the rewards. It's so tight. And that kind of, you know, there's like five teams that you could probably say that will all have similar ambitions to ourselves that will say, do you know what, we could maybe sneak in fourth. I think the thing for me is, and that I've always had really this whole season, is that I think we can, but I'm not expecting it. I don't think there should be any expectation that a team that finished third in League One and has brought in only a handful of faces, you know, you're looking at who we've brought in, you know, Hancock, released from Aberdeen, Todorov, who was on the bench most of the time for Dunfermline, an unknown Irish teenager, and then a bunch of loanees. To be sitting where we are in the league is, like, and despite what might be said publicly about, you know, eighth isn't success. Eighth is success. Staying up in this league is success. Now we can do better. We can do better than eighth. And I think we should do better than eighth. I'm confident that we can finish even sixth or above, and I think we can finish fourth, but it's certainly not an expectation. Listen, if we finish seventh in this league and we play good football and we've had, you know, the cup runs that we've had, I think that's solid, and that's a good base to just try and build on again for next season. But listen, it's positive so far, but yeah, potentially we could squeeze in there, but I don't think there's any expectation.
think you're right there, by the way. No, I don't think anybody expects it, do we? But we're dreaming it, right?
Well,
I mean, we could be sitting in 8th, 9th, absolute panic stations, but to even be talking about it, you're right, it's absolutely incredible, you know, the journey we're on. But to even be on this podcast at this stage of the season talking about we're in without a shout here is remarkable.
But I mean, two, three results go against us, and then we're right in the relegation playoff, you know, kind of spot. So, there certainly have been some fans. I think it was my brother that was saying, just going back to the Hearts game, there was somebody sitting behind him at the Hearts game saying that if you know, this is a real wake up call, and who do we think we are? You know, we can't compete with these type of teams if we're playing that way. And it's just I think sometimes we forget just how long we were in League One. And just how much of a monumental effort it's taken to get us where we are, and just to kind of take stock of that. And actually, do you know what? I think the last time we finished 5th in League One was when? In the Championship, sorry. It wasn't even called the Championship then.
Maybe 2004, something like that. Early Airdrie United days. But I mean, okay, right. So two things though, I would say, Andrew. So, one, you're saying sneak 4th. I mean, Thistle lost again last night, haven't won in 8th. So after the last Thistle game where I thought they looked pretty good, as did we, I was sure they were going to catch Raith Rovers because they were in free fall, whereas Thistle haven't won forever. So I think 3rd is up for grabs. But we
Thistle
also
have a very low budget.
Yeah, according to one guy on Twitter who's now in
one source
anything to do with this, but yeah, we all jumped on that. But at the same time, we're sitting here and Davey Hutton's the only goalie that's in the squad at the moment with Josh's injury. So, Colin, where's your mind at? Like, I can see it both ways. I think if we didn't get those brilliant results away to Tannadice and Dunfermline, so let's say we lose those two games, which could easily have happened without a disaster, I think we'd be sitting 9th. Whereas having won those two, we're up in 5th. So it is just incredibly tight. Are you looking up? Are you looking down? Are you just take it as it comes?
I'm kind of taking it as it comes. I would settle for the Ian Murray Race Rovers of last season, where there was only one team that could neither go up nor go down. So I'll be delighted when we get to the position where we can't finish 9th and we can't be relegated. A wee bit of ambition, certainly 4th is a possibility. I don't see it. I suspect that I'll be delighted when, let's say, 42 points actually saves us compared to way back with Kenny Black. I think it was 42 points. We ended up in the playoffs. So I have a fear about that kind of thing. Should we beat our growth on Saturday, I think I will relax and go for 5th in the league. I'll be happy with that. I'd love to see Thistle and Morton starting to toil a wee bit. Thistle still look very dangerous. I thought they were very unlucky last night. Raith Rovers they took the chance that came to them, but I thought Thistle actually had the edge. And they've got Brian Graham up front, and I think that'll be enough for them to finish 3rd. So between us, Morton, Air United, as Andrew says, anything from 5 teams, once their growth go, I think I'll be able to relax.
And the treatment room, I mean, the treatment room's got Josh, which fingers crossed, we've not heard, we know it must be a bad injury given it was his head, and all we heard is he was in the hospital a day and a half later. McGregor, Gabby, Aitken, Cammy Balance, is he in there as well? Mason with a knee that seems to pop in and out of being as it should. So is that a concern for you? I mean, we seem to have coped all season with guys coming in and out, but it does seem like you'd be getting a bit busy in there at the moment. What do you reckon, David?
It is a worry, right? Understandably, because we don't have the biggest squad. And there are players on the bench that, you know, are capable of coming on throughout a game holding their own, but not any of the size starters, right? Good enough squad players, but not starters. And I think getting Megwa back in was brilliant. Really helped us, you know, solidified the defence give us further options, etc. But we've struggled from having to shuffle folk about. And a perfect example is you know, Watson in beside Dicey, superb. Watson in beside McCabe, awful. The two of them together just didn't work. But that was forced through a Dicey injury, right? Cammy, we all love him. His attitude is brilliant. He throws himself into everything, but then it turns out he was playing for a good few weeks, you know, with a detached or torn groin before Christmas. You're like, wow, in terms of his commitment and dedication, but geez, oh. And then obviously Hancock has come in, really stepped up, looking solid, knee pops out. So you're right, it is worrying, because what's worked well for us in the last few weeks is consistency of a starting lineup. You know, getting that same team week in, week out makes a massive difference to growing that confidence. Chopping and changing it, either through poor results or through injuries, it's not ideal. I would like to think Aitken might be coming to the end of his injury journey soon. Be great to see him back in. Same with McGregor. So there's a few players potentially coming back, but losing Josh is a big blow, because it's that uncertainty of who's going to come in. Huts could go on goals, absolutely, but I think Huts would be the first to admit himself that he's not on the bench to be competing with Josh. It's a risk, calculated risk the club have taken. And it's funny, he's probably been injured more times than most goalies, I think, and it's unfortunate. But until we get some sort of news, hopefully in the next couple of days, let's be honest, it does concern me having Huts in for the run-in, for example, because he's not up to the same level as Josh was back in his heyday, but not anymore. So that's probably the biggest injury worry for me right now. That's where we don't have a decent person to sub in as in goals.
Anyone else on the injury front?
No, I was going to say, I agree with David there that it is a concern. And I think you could ask 10 Airdrie fans what their best starting 11 was, and they would all have different personnel in there as well. So you're looking at, you know, despite the fact we've had a small squad, there would be some people that say Watson should be starting, some people saying he shouldn't be, some saying that McMaster would be in their best starting 11, others, you know, with everybody available, others say that he wouldn't be. So, you know, there's players that are out or players that would otherwise potentially maybe be on the bench. We can still have a strong starting 11 with the players that are out. But it's the options to change things. It's the competition that adds. You know, if you have, you know, McGregor and Gabby out, how does that then impact the other players that could potentially fulfil those roles? You know, if they're having a bit of a stinker, if they're on a booking, if they have a wee twinge in the last 20 minutes of a game, it's that kind of thing. I still think we're capable of putting out a strong starting 11. But it's the concern really comes in for when we need to change things, and we will need to change things from time to time. As we've already been over, it's so tight. There's going to be times when we need to consider a different approach and tighten things up a little bit at the back. And not every player, particularly when they're young players, and most of the squad is young players. You know, most of them are under 25. There's going to be inconsistency. That's kind of just goes hand in hand with it. You can't expect a 20-year-old player to be consistent with, you know, performance-wise throughout the whole season. So when that does go wrong, not having the options to change it is really my concern. But still confident we can get a good starting 11. You'll look at any team that we can put out, and it still looks like a decent team. But that would be where my concern lies. As far as the keeper goes, I think sometimes Hutton gets a bit of stick, a bit of hard time. I think, and I was talking to somebody about this recently, about him being on the bench. And if I was totally honest, see if Josh Ray was to get sent off in the last 10 minutes of a game, I would probably rather put Hutton in for 10 minutes than an untried, inexperienced 18-year-old for the last 10 minutes, holding on to a one-goal lead, for example. Purely just because of his experience, knows how to talk to a defence and organise a defence. Still a decent enough shot stopper, and I think he could do that job well. It's whether he can do the job of playing 5-6 games.
Yeah,
you know, that's probably where I have my doubts. So I would imagine that works are in place to try and bring an emergency loan in, you know, just now, if we've got a kind of realistic prognosis of how long Ray is supposed to be out.
Yeah, which is what's happened throughout this, as David says, risk based strategy of you have Hutton sub goalie, and if anything happens to Josh, then we get Murray Johnson or somebody else in, and it's so far it's worked. And the first I really saw it was Morton, that playoff that we lost, got Scott Fox that week, and he played in goals for them. And in fairness, I think he had to use his gloves in the game that we had at our place. Colin, what about you? You going to take your gloves along just in case for the cup final? Because I don't know when it'll be. If we get Murray Johnson, I think he's already cup tied, so you might be able to fill in.
Yeah. I once played in goals for Airdrie Academy and was lobbed from 60 yards. So it's not for me. The one player I would mention just now is I think Charlie Telfer has been enormous for us during this entire spell. He's got the level of experience. I would worry about bringing Murray Aitken back in if it meant sacrificing somebody like, well, I don't know, because they like this idea of Murray Aitken breaking forward, but he's been out for so long. So a lot of praise for Telfer from me. As far as Hutton goes, him and I fell out with each other on a famous occasion at Arbroath when he was playing for them. So I think he's a good goalkeeper. And as Andrew says, the last 10 minutes of games, yes, I don't see any worry there. Maybe this could be swan song. You know, one game saves us, gets to the final, wins a final, and then maybe we can promote somebody from the reserves. I have no idea. I've not seen any of the young goalies. It must be a worry. It's been a worry all season because Josh does get injured.
Yeah, he's got a red card in him as well with some of his when he does rush out. You know, the heart's always in the mouth when he's tackling defending players on the byline and stuff like that.
Quite funny because Hutton said a yellow card by being on the bench. So how many cards do you need before you get a suspension? it's a concern. I don't know who we're going to play in goals on Saturday. I mean, I think we need to beat our growth. And if we don't have a solid defence with a solid goalie. I saw Dean Linus in my Cinch Championship highlights say saving shots for Hamilton, which is more than they did for us. So there's going to be a goalie somewhere. Surely we can get a goalie in. Surely. Don't call me Shirley. There's a worry.
David, so I'd sent around a list of things to talk about, but I'd missed off Megwa's return. You mentioned it already briefly there. So, I mean, brilliant video from Stuart Matthey. Shout out to him. But what have you made of... What have you made of Megwa coming back?
You know, and this is going to sound terrible, I like to think he never left college, because what I loved about it, right, and this is why I think the guy is committed to us, and obviously wants to play at the highest level, right, but even when he was returned to Hibs, he came along supporting the boys a few times, and he was in the stand, right, and I just think that's incredible in terms of the impact that the club and the players have had, that he turns up. I think there was a game he came and watched us when he could have watched Hibs away, right? He couldn't play for Hibs because he was cup tied, but he still could have been there, and he chose to come to us. Now, he's gone back to Hibs. It hasn't worked out. I blame their manager for that. Throwing him in against Rangers is just, it's a ridiculous situation to put him in, right? And ironically, I've noticed it tonight. Is it the boy Miller, who's even younger than Megwa? He was subbed off tonight after 44 minutes. When they lost a goal after 43 minutes. And I can't help but think, I wonder if the manager's pulling him off and what's he doing to that boy's confidence, you know? And you can tell instantly when Megwa's come back to us, that video is superb. Well done for signing up for that. But he's playing with a smile on his face. He's loving his football. The fans love him. And he's where he is appreciated. And you can tell that he's a confidence player because he's put in some big performances. Somebody, I don't know who it was, but somebody, I read something or somebody said to me at one point, I didn't see the need for him to come back. But actually, now he's back in, you see the difference he makes. Steady his whole defence. Can get up the line and support. He's athletic. I think it was a good bit of business the club going back to say, listen, give him yours again, you know, we'll continue to develop him. Because they could have very easily just moved on, but they've stuck with him. And you know what? For me, the longer term vision here is, look at McMaster, right, who was a St Mirren loanee and then got released, signed for us. Look at Devaney, you know, Kelly loanee came, signed for us. Look where he is now, apparently travelling with the first team away at the moment, which is fantastic for him, right? So I think we're fast becoming the sort of club where these young players realise, I'm going to get to play football, I'm going to get developed, I'm getting an arm put around me by an excellent manager and a good board, good chairman, etc. And I think Meg was one of these players, same as Aitken, you mentioned Colin Aitken earlier. I think Aitken's a real quality player. He might take a while to get back up to speed, but I think really Reece loves him. Otherwise, he'd have been sent back already. Because he's been out that long, it would have been very easy to cancel his loan. So I think the plan of getting Megwell back, the plan of putting that arm around Aitken, keeping him in around the squad is, you know, these guys might end up out of contract, not signed on, and then we are the first option. So I think there's some clever, clever play from the club to kind of get Megwell back and support these young guys. And it's an atmosphere unlike any I have seen from a squad in Airdrie for a long, long time.
Yeah, when you see the statistics for the Premiership, how many young players actually get a game, it's frightening how little it is. So if these guys are going to drop out of academies, Airdrie's as good a place as any for them to go for all the reasons you've outlined, David. So I think there's definitely something in. Mekwa might have done too well to be the next of any, sadly. But guys will be noticing that, and it's a story that we can tell off. It's not like a one-off. There's a whole load of guys have come through. So yeah, absolutely. And I think it was probably me that said at the time when he did resign, Ballantyne was back, Janney was playing really well at full-back, he had Hancock flying as well. Is this really where we need strength? But then you see how good he was at Tynecastle, where he just seemed to have telescopic legs that kept winning tackles where he seemed to have no right to do it. Yeah, made to eat my words, because Janny's been able to drop into centre-half, and you've got an absolutely brilliant right-back and an absolutely brilliant left-back. So it's been fundamental having him in those two away games. Right, okay, guys, we've mentioned, I've touched on it there, so Megwa back, freed up Janny to move into centre-half. As David said, didn't work at the air game. He did seem to be the scapegoat. Despite getting a goal back, he was seemed to be, to me, the one that was being hung out to dry and not good enough. And Dundee United game, he's dropped. Early injury to Hancock, he gets brought on. And I mean, I don't think he's put a foot wrong since that point in time. So, Andrew, we'll come to you. Craig Watson, did you expect him to be as good as he has been at points this year? Bear in mind what you were saying earlier on, of this is a level up.
It is a level up. I certainly rated him. And last season, I thought he was fantastic. But this season, I think if you look at the air game as an example, him playing it as a centre-back rather than at right-back, I think sometimes just exposes those wee vulnerabilities that he might have from time to time. I think that's predominantly where he played with East Fife. When he was with East Fife, I think he played at centre-back more than he played at full-back. Now we've got so much kind of competition in those areas. We've got versatility. We've sometimes played with a back four or a back three. So he can slot in at different points. You're right. It doesn't look like he's really put a foot wrong since that air game. And I'm basing that mostly on highlights because the last game I was at was actually that air game. But no, he's still got the attributes that to succeed, I think, at this level. Like any player, they need time to adjust. Whether that is, you know, 20 odd games or whatever, but we've seen him play really, really well against some of the best teams in this league. So it's just a matter of just doing it more consistently. There's going to be mistakes in all players at any level, really. So as disappointing as it was, as frustrating as it was, I don't think it doesn't represent him and define him as a player. What defines him as a player is how he's been performing over the course of the last couple of seasons and this season at this level. So no, I've got confidence in him that he can he can continue to play at the levels that he has been playing at in recent weeks, and that, you know, no doubt that he can finish off the season in a similar at a similar level.
And Colin sitting in next to him in this good run, Callum Fordyce. So I mean, Callum Fordyce brought in to us from Queen of the South. You maybe I thought his best days were behind him, especially when we're 4 years into his Airdrie career. But another one who just seems to have been a marvel this year. I mean, what do you make of him as a centre half?
Oh, I think Fordyce has been immense over that whole period. We missed him badly against the United. I mean, I would actually have said that the manager was more to blame for the goals that we lost that day than Watson. But I thought it was unfair in Watson to drop him. I think Watson is a supreme, I'm going to say, a fitness fanatic. He's very, very fit. He rarely gets injured. So playing him at centre back seems to me to have been a very wise decision. Much better with Fordyce. I don't think there's any doubt about that at all. And it has allowed Megwa to come back and be even more impressive, I think, than in the earlier stages. He's clearly got a good future. Fordyce is magnificent. I mean, I've never seen anybody who could head the ball. I hope it doesn't hurt him in the long run. But also, you know, get great tackles in. Some of his passing can be quite good. Some of it can be quite erratic. One of my friends was complaining that being asked to play the ball back out, you know, like Beckenbauer or something like that, is maybe not what Watson and Fordyce are capable of. I mean, Watson scored goals. He scored more goals than our midfielders. I think that's one of our weaknesses, is that our midfielders don't get enough goals. I noticed this, some statistic earlier tonight that we're in the top 10 of the least goals conceded. Dundee United are better than us, but the reason why we've not conceded as many goals is because of players like Fordyce, Watson, the full-backs as well. I mean, defending from the front, I don't think is one of our strong points. Fordyce has been great, and so has Watson. I think you can only praise it. I think he has made the step up, which a lot of folk thought he might not do. So, yeah, I'm happy.
And you say that this midfield doesn't have goals in it. It's quite stark that I think Watson's on fourth for the season. Telfer, Frizzle, I think McStravick's got one goal. Who else is in the mix there? McMaster, even McCabe. McCabe doesn't score goals from open play. So there's like zero goals or one if you include McStravick there. So that maybe is an issue. I've got an acquaintance. I met him on he was on the same stag do as me. He's actually Stephen Maguire, who is at Airdrie's, his brother-in-law, who's a Morton fan. And there's a boy at work who's a Dunfermline fan, and over the last 3 weeks both of them have been greeting to me about how nasty our midfield is. So what's going on, guys? Has this turned into a team of hard men circa the, or like the 1990s within the last few weeks? David, what do you think? Is this the Beastie Boys reincarnated?
These people have never seen Sandy Stewart, Walter Kidd, Kenny Black. I mean, Kenny Black would have halved his granny in two during that period. I couldn't understand what the Morton fans were complaining bitterly about ETS's jump into the guy. Now, it was a jump into him. There was no elbow.
Was assault, no elbow. You mean?
Assault. They were going on about assault. And when you look at it, Robbie Crawford is smaller, and the big guy jumps, and he is late, and he does catch him, but there was no elbow, no intent. And then they moaned later on about Oakley. I don't even remember the incident where Oakley had to go off injured. If ETS had a go at him, well, fair enough. That's what centre-halves are supposed to do. I couldn't know that. Morton fans were also complaining about every other team that play them. I think they're just bouncing back from the fact that they themselves know how you dish it out. So, I don't know. I'm thinking the Alan McDonald's team. Well, a kid. I mean, These guys, I think football players nowadays have no idea what it was like to play 20 years ago. I mean, you fall down now and you get a foul. Me and McStravick, he keeps trying to get fouls, mind you, and feels miserably. So, no, undeserved.
David, you were there. You were around there watching that same Alec McDonald team. What do you make of it? Boy, the Dunfermline fan was wanting to get his phone out of his pocket to show me Thistle's tackle on the boy. I said, I've seen it. Your man pulled out. He caught me such it's a yellow card. Move on.
Listen, I would probably say that footballers are faster paced now, right? Players are fitter, more athletic. Therefore, they go into challenges quicker. So there is more likely to be an increase in terms of the number of clashes or players just missing a ball. And let's be honest as well, right? Every single footballer could be like a gymnast secondary because they all love pirouetting and rolling, right? And there is that element of play acting now. Back in the day, if a player was booted by an Airdrie player, right, they either stayed down because it really hurt or they got up and wanted a fight. Whereas nowadays, folk throw themselves and roll about and make things like worse. And fans, it's like panto. You know what I mean? Boo, stay down. And it is panto because half of the time, it's play act tonight. There's nothing in it. And yeah, you get some bad tackles. Of course you do. I would not go anywhere near saying that our team is as physically tough/dirty as the old Airdrie was, right? Not at all. But they're putting themselves in there. The, you know, it's the McCabe philosophy again of show up, and that is not just on the ball, right? It's, you know, it's not just a case of I want you to come looking for the ball at all times. It's off the ball, get stuck in, and that is what you need. McCabe, yeah, you can tell himself that's what we need, but we're not a dirty team. Absolutely not. I think, we need some sort of statue to go and look at it, but I highly doubt we are sitting high up in the red and yellow card stakes of our league. I think we are a tight team that frustrate players of opposition. We close them down quick. We press them. We harry them. And therefore, you know, they get frustrated and they roll about and their fans get behind them. But Dirty God Morton are more hatchet men than we are. They're a big physical team that lump the ball up. And we've got, like, a midfielder dwarf like McSavick's fighting to be one of our tallest midfielders. And that's saying something. So, ballers, but they're not dirty.
The same Dunfermline fan was moaning about, fair play, you bullied us. And say, hey, you get bullied by Charlie Telfer, Rhys McCabe, Liam McStravick, Adam Frizzle, Lyle probably come on in that game as well. So it was the same. Doddy used to joke about we were just missing Snow White, and it certainly did feel like. Andrew, you're the done a bit of football coaching. How can a team with an average midfield height of probably about 5'6", 5'7", how is it that Dunfermline can feel bullied by that team? What's going on there?
Yeah, I think. Well, you need both sides of your game, don't you? I think, for different scenarios, and the type of player that we have is obviously it's kind of lending itself to the style that we want to play, but that often means what you're doing when you're in possession, not necessarily taking into account what you do when you're out of possession. So when you're out of possession, you know, you might still be forced into having to play in certain ways or to have certain attributes that aren't in your kind of top skill set. So it is, you know, if you are playing against a team that likes to lump it long, you do need to start working on you winning your 50-50s. Now, that won't always look like that in training because you're playing against other teams that are just trying to dominate possession, dominate the ball, play killer passes in through tiny spaces and you're not having to do that as much. But I think as these players get older, they get more experienced and with McCabe and his experience passing that on, it's just about developing that side of their game. So it doesn't, as David touched on, it doesn't mean that you're dirty. You know, it's just about being clever and being a bit streetwise. That's probably where, if you're looking at recent results, particularly that Morton game, maybe and the Ayr game, sometimes against these slightly more experienced, more streetwise teams, they get the better of us, despite the fact that we might have played better football over the course of 90 minutes. It doesn't really matter if you're walking away with 0 points. So it's just about developing other parts of your game as well, and not necessarily making that the emphasis and the be-all and end-all and saying, right, you need to, quote-unquote, just get stuck in more. But until you're actually down and in control of the ball, and until your team is back in possession, you might have to be forced into doing that ugly side. So I think it's just a bit of preparing for developing that other part of them. But I was just looking up there the stats centre, the SPFL stats. David was asking about the disciplinary records here. So yellow cards, there is no Airdrie player in the top 10 of yellow cards, and no player in the league has had more than one red. So McStravick is tied first with with one red card. But
that was was a bro early in the season, wasn't it? That was like forever ago. Yeah.
But there's ten players have all had one red card each. But
we're not a dirty team. And thank you for checking that. I appreciate it. You are the stato guy. I just don't have the patience or time to search that. But the McTravick red card, he flew in and got yellow carded, and Barry turned and said to me, he's going to get sent off. And it was reckless, silliness, nothing dirty about it again. So, no. I mean, that's just sour grapes, right, from people calling us dirty. Because let's be honest, right, I'm here for it. If Morton have collapsed because of one player, Oakley, and they blame ATS for that, I'm loving it.
It would be very funny for Morton fans calling Airdrie dirty, because, again, just referring back to these stats, Muirhead, 9 yellow cards. Power, who plays for Morton, 8 yellow cards. Yeah. Broadfoot, 7 yellow cards. French, 7 yellow cards. So, I think that tells its own wee story as well.
Yeah, I had posted the team with the worst disciplinary record was indeed Morton.
there you go.
So they were building around one incident. I think it's because the ATS challenge was at their side of the park. So, you know, fans get riled about things. And, of course, I'd said that the Morton players surrounded the referee. And I felt that's what they did. And that makes the situation worse, because everybody starts sort of shoving each other and all the rest of it. But he played the rest of the game. Indeed, he had a miraculous recovery in the last 5 minutes, where he got apparently a bad injury and had to be stretchered off almost. The next minute, he's up running away. It's a miracle, Lord. It's a miracle. I get a bit of stick for saying that, so I apologise to the guy, because he could have had a bad injury, but adrenaline gets you through.
right, okay. Well, I think we've done well. We will do a podcast next week for the cup final, but I'd be remiss of me not to ask you guys what are you thinking ahead of chance to lift the trophy, a big day out for the club. So, Andrew, you want to start us off? What are you doing for the final?
Well, I'll be there. Do you know what? I've not done enough homework on the new Saints to really make an accurate prediction. So I'll just shot in the dark prediction here for me will be a 2-0 win. Hope to see it. But listen, they've beaten how many teams to get to the final, and how many a couple of championship teams in there that they've beaten.
Both Falkirk in the semis, and I couldn't tell you had that before. East Fife just squeaked past at home, yeah.
Right. So they're thereabouts, you know, level wise. They're not in the final by accident, but I don't think we've got anything to fear. So 2-0 Airdrie, and I'll be there with my bells and whistles on.
David?
3-1.
3-1. And plans for the day?
Together. I am just driving through. My kids are both into it now. My son's coming with me. My daughter started getting into football, which is good. So I am doing the responsible thing and driving through. But I will be there. I will enjoy it. I mean, Falkirk Stadium, let's be honest, we're synonymous with winning at that ground, really. So I'll be disappointed if we don't win.
Yeah, and Colin, round us off. What are you up to?
Yes, I'm going through with my usual friends, but my nephew and his son are going. They've been regulars this season, you know, got a season ticket, etc. And really, really keen on being at the game. I hope we play in a white diamond.
I thought you were getting information chat there, Colin.
a white diamond with black shorts. that's one of my favourite strips, you know, the white, the black. But I'll be quite happy, as long as I've got an Airdrie diamond. And we're in a final 100 years later.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think we're going to win 2-0. We don't need Hughie Gallagher to score the goals this time. That'll be Callum Gallagher.
Good stuff. I mean, well, it was Willie Russell that scored the two goals, but you're taking him off, Matt. But yeah, Gallagher for Gallagher, that would do. Any two scorers would be fine.
2-0.
Good stuff. Well, fingers crossed. Yeah, and hopefully if you've not got your tickets yet, yeah, I've not seen any stat. I just don't want it to be the lowest attended Challenge Cup. I was going to be doing it to the Airdrie fans to get that number up, but I'm pretty positive, given what was at the Hearts game, that and just stories to hear about people going, that we'll have a good number there. So hopefully they give us a good day, and it would be fitting if we won a cup 100 years on. I'd be delighted with that.
Perfect, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It'd be great. I'm also going to the 1924 dinner. So it'd be great to say we had that in the year in which we won a cup. I'm confident. Falkirk Stadium's a quite a good place for us.
Yeah,
I don't
good wee ground.
We've toiled there. I'm in the main stand this time. I decided not to go behind the goals because I don't really like being behind the goals at games. I prefer seeing across the pitch. So, yes, looking forward to it.
Good stuff. Thank you very much, gentlemen. No more sorrow.